and I may love what thou dost love. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the Lord Holy Spirit who you have sent to breathe into us your life anew and afresh daily, so that we will love what you love and we will do what you do. As we enter your word this morning, this afternoon, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We are very aware of the limitations of the natural human mind to deliver as well as to receive your infinite wisdom that has been compressed into the written word. So we need your help, fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so that I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. And the same unction upon the ears and the hearts of those who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray for mercy, that I will deliver this word with precision, redeem the time, and say only what you want me to say. Bring now a treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement, receiving every blessing I mentioned in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said, hallelujah. As a great hymns, we thank God for all the great hymns that were written during the Reformation of the Church. These were the hymns that came out of the Lutheran Reformation and later on the Wesley Revivals in England. And though written 200, 300 years ago, they still carry the same unction and anointing with which they were written. It says, breathe on me, breath of God, until I will with thee one will. Until this earthly part of me glows with the fire divine. Now speaking of the glory of God. They saw it by revelation. They sang it and they wrote it down. As Christians, and that's what I'm going to be talking about this afternoon, our greatest hope, our greatest desire should be to this earthly part, that is the physical body. We want it to glow with God's fire. And I'm going to be talking to us this afternoon about perfecting the love of God. The word perfection there sometimes throws us off because we think of something where you never make any mistakes anymore. Well, ultimately you will get there. But really, what the word here means by perfecting is allowing the love of God to run its full course in and through you. Allowing the love of God to run its full course in and through you. I'm going to explain as I go along. You see, what we have to understand is, firstly, what the love of God is, which I will explain in a minute. And then, secondly, why it has to run its full course. Let me give a definition of the love of God that the Holy Spirit has given to me personally. It's something that has developed over the years. When I first started this church in 1984, I immediately started teaching on love of God. And I said, love is discerning, desiring, and doing what is best. That's how I started. Over the years, revelation is continuous and progressive. God has refined that definition to make it more comprehensive. I have said this several times over the years, and I will keep saying it. This is the greatest revelation God has ever given me. The revelation of the love of God. When we first started many, many years ago, it's 40 years now, 35 years since I started the church, 40 years since I've been a Christian, by the grace and the mercy of God. You know, we had some level of revelation, we had some level of understanding, and we used to, you know, I prioritized, I was taught that by my spiritual fathers, Kenneth Hagin and others, you know, E.W. Kenyon and others, you know, I used to pray from 1 Corinthians chapter 13 every day. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. From 4 to 8, I would meditate upon it. I would, you know, say it to myself, you know. I didn't know about praying in tongues over it at that time. I'll just say it, and I'll just think it, you know. And it's guided my Christian life ever since. But the Lord had mercy on me, and He gave me this very definition, very comprehensive definition. What is the love of God? What is love? Love is discerning by wisdom that comes from the Word of God. That's a part I have, I'm putting that in now. That wisdom comes from the Word of God. Discerning by wisdom from the Word. Feeling by compassion from the fruit of the Spirit. And then doing by power, by the power of the Holy Spirit, what God would do. Not what is best, but what God would do in every circumstance and situation, because God is love. This is a very comprehensive definition of the Word of God. And you can see, of the love of God rather, you can see it is intricately interwoven with the Word of God, the wisdom of God, which comes from the Word of God, and with the fruit of the Spirit, which is all the different aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, a lot of what men call love is not love. You really cannot walk in love without those three things. You can't walk in love if you don't know the Word of God. You can't walk in love if you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You can't walk in love if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's why you find many Christians struggling to walk in love based on human thinking, human feelings, and human emotions. And while their motivations may be good, they fall short because they're trying to walk in love without the Word of God. They're trying to walk in love without the fruit of the Spirit. And incidentally, the fruit of the Spirit are spiritual forces. They're not just nice, gentle emotions. They're actually spiritual forces that work on our emotions. They affect the emotions, but they're not emotional. They come from the Spirit. They don't come from the emotions. They affect the emotions. They're supposed to temper and control the emotions, but their source is not from the emotions. See, men try and walk in love because of feelings and emotions. That's human love, human, you know. But divine, it comes from the Spirit. That's why we come to this issue of the love of God running its full course in and through us. To appreciate this and keep this definition, it will help you. Wisdom that comes from the Word of God. Feeling that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. Doing by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's why you can't walk in love if you don't pray much in the Spirit. I don't have the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. You won't be able to walk in love. Your emotions will get exhausted because of the hardness of the hearts of men. I heard somebody say this many years ago after I had been teaching on washing of feet. That if you see your brother sin, you know, you ask life for them, you know, you clean up the blood of Jesus, you ask life for them, you pray for them in tongues. And that brother said, I've washed feet, I'm tired of washing feet. It doesn't seem to have produced any results. And they were ready to give up. You know, that's human, that's trying to operate this thing by human ability. When you do it by the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll never get tired. Because God never gets tired. Hallelujah. That's the thing about God. That beautiful 8th verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the Amplified Bible. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. Is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are faithless under all circumstances. It endures everything without weakening. You can't do that. You can't do that in the natural. If you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit, you can't do it. All those things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience, they are spiritual forces. They do not emanate from the emotions. They emanate from the Spirit. And then they are incident upon the emotions to make the emotions behave properly. The love of God is not an emotion. And that brings us to this issue of need to run its full course. Look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 12. And I'm going to look at it in three translations. I'll first of all look at it in the King James. Then we're going to look at it in the Amplified. And then we're going to look at it in the Message Bible. Everybody, read along with me. Say, no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth, that's old English, but just means God is living, He's active in us. And His love is what? Perfected in us. Observe, the scripture tells us that the love of God can be perfected in us. I didn't hear an amen. I said observe. The scripture declares without an apology to anybody that the love of God can be perfected. He says no man has seen God at any time. In other words, you know, we don't normally see God with our physical eyes. But if we start practicing love one another, you know what we're going to start seeing God in one another. And he says, as you practice this, the love of God will be perfected inside you. Now, look at this in the Amplified Bible. You know, I'm doing what Nehemiah 8:8 says. It says, they read the word and then they gave them the sense. So that made them to understand the word. See, many times people just read the Bible and they read on the surface and don't really understand. They don't really get the sense. What was the mind of God when the scripture was written? Because you see, you have to understand, scripture was not written by men. No, it was written by men. But it was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Men were just the stenographers. You know what a stenographer is? You've been to a court of law. You know, when they're talking, someone will be typing. The person who is typing is not the person who is talking, but it's the person who is writing. So men wrote the scriptures, but the person who was talking was God. And no man has seen God, has at any time yet seen God. But if we love one another, God abides, lives, and remains in us, and His love, that love which is essentially His, is brought to what? Completion. To its what? Full maturity. Now this is where I got that word from. Runs its full course and is perfected in us. Before I go to the Message Bible, I want you to think a little bit on the word full course. When something runs full course, it means it completes its journey. Isn't that right? Full course. It completes its journey. Yesterday was the 50th anniversary of Apollo 11 going to the moon. Pastor Gregor was in my house and we're watching it, and some of the others, and some brethren that came to visit us, and watching they did a little bit documentary on it on CNN, which I recorded it. It's the kind of thing you record. Praise the Lord. I remember I was 10 years old. Remember, I'm 60 years old. I still remember it like yesterday. I was 10 years old when they went to the moon. I can never forget that day. You know, and the Americans were so kind, they let the whole world see it. We saw it on our television. You know, my mom, you know, we had this little television in our house. You know, I was 10 years old. You know, I was watching. And I can't forget it. You know, I mentioned this yesterday. It's on the brethren. I just said this. You know, I remember some of the more elderly, you know, people who are around say, don't mind them, America. How can anybody go to the moon? Even though I was just a kid, I knew that was ignorance talking. I knew we were looking at the real thing. But the point I want to make from that, you know, event is this. they had a course. That rocket, it lifted up. It had different stages. It first of all had to get out of the Earth's atmosphere. Then after getting out of the atmosphere, it had to now, there was another stage of the rocket that took it to the orbit of the moon. Because they had to get close to the moon, not to hit the moon, but to enter into the gravitational pull of the moon. So it left the Earth, that's one stage. Then it got into outer space, stage two. Then number three, it had to get into the orbit of the moon. They had to fire it such that it got close enough to the moon to come into the gravitational attraction of the moon. When they got into the orbit of the moon, they switched the engine off. They switched the engine off. Why? Because they didn't want to fly past the moon. They wanted, once they got to the orbit of the moon, they switched the engine off so that they were now moving around the moon by only the gravitational force of the moon. And then they moved around, they orbited around the moon. They orbited around the moon until they came to the place where they wanted to land. They gave it a name, something of Tranquility. When they got to the close to the place where they wanted to land, they switched the engine off on again. But this time they now disconnected one other part of the rocket, you know, the lunar, where the guys were going to use to get onto the moon. That one disconnected from the main rocket, and then it fired its engines, left the main rocket, and fired the engines down to the ground, so that they could now land on the moon. And those great words came: "The eagle has landed." Give the Lord a clap offering. So, I was reading I read this years ago, but I was reading the account again. So many things could have gone wrong. One of the fuel tanks, the pipe that was feeding the fuel into that something, it all of a sudden got frozen, and they thought it was going to explode. So they gave an error message: 1202, 1202, 1202, 1202. None of the astronauts, Neil Armstrong, they didn't know what 1202 meant. They had never seen it in their practice. So they didn't know whether to abort, get back to the ship and quickly get out before they die, or to continue. So some guys in Texas, you know, in Houston, they were looking at all the records, and they're 1202, 1202, what's 1202, what's 1202, what's 1202? So one great engineer amongst them looked at it and said, "No, it's just a software glitch. It's okay. Keep it going." So they kept going. They kept going until they landed. Then they rested for about 3 hours before they came out. Why am I going to all this long story? Full course. It wasn't enough to leave the Earth. It wasn't enough to get into outer space. It wasn't even enough to orbit around the moon. They had to get there and then land. Then they had to go back home. That was the tricky part. After they landed on the moon, they spent about 2 or 3 hours. They gathered rocks. They did a little bit of experiments. They put the American flag there. They went there. You know, they looked at the nice view. They said, "We're not here to look at a nice view. We've got work to do." They did some, you know, collected some rocks, rocks and specimens and everything in the moon. They worked for about 2 hours. Then they now had to get back into the and reconnect. The other guy, there were three of them. One person had to stay in the main rocket. The other two that came down to the surface of the moon were depending on that guy. Yes, talk about teamwork. And he had gone around the Earth. While they were working, he had gone around once. He had gone around twice, him alone. So by the time he had come back the third time, they were now ready to go. They signaled him, so he now hovered. We were looking at yesterday, Pastor Quig and I. They couldn't miss it by 1 second. They had to fire the one on the ground so that it would get up, and then it wouldn't go where it is. It's going to where it's going to be. Because everything was in motion. So they fired it at an angle so that by the time the main rocket goes there, they will intercept and they will dock back. It worked. Give the Lord a clap offering. Even they realized that it was God that helped them. So many things could have gone wrong. And then when they docked, they now go around the moon again. then fire their rockets, get out of the orbit of the moon, and then start coming back to the earth. Then they have to go through the heat of the atmosphere. It burnt a lot of things, but the little module they were in was not burned. And they landed inside the Pacific Ocean. And they picked them up. Full course. Now, let's get back to my message. I like that, anyways. I like physics and space and astronomy and all of that. But here it is. The love of God leaves your spirit, first course. Then it must get from your spirit to your soul, second. Then it must go from your soul to your body to bring action. If it doesn't get to all those, if it doesn't reach the three stages and get to action, the love of God is not completed in you. See, the Bible says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Your spirit has the love of God. But it must move from your spirit and then affect your mind, your will, and your emotions. Then affect your body and your actions for that love to be seen by the man on the outside. You can have the love of God inside you. But if it does not complete its full course, watch this, in you, it will never come out so that men can benefit from it. And sadly, that's what happens in millions of Christians. Love of God is in their hearts, but it doesn't climb up. They don't have, their rockets aren't working, so to speak, using the Apollo 11 illustration. The rockets are not working. They don't know how to get into orbit. They don't know how to get into place at the right time. It's a system, folks. Now, watch this. So the God wants his love to run its full course, to complete its journey inside us. It starts in our spirits. It goes into our souls. It should go into our bodies and into our physical actions so that we can now be a blessing to people. That's what he was saying. He says, if we love one another, God dwelleth in his love, and his love is perfected in us. No man has seen God. But once the love of God starts walking through us, we start seeing God in one another. Now, let's look at this in the Message Bible. Am I helping anybody here? Right. No one has seen God ever. That's not totally true, but I know you must contextualize what he's saying. But if we love one another, God dwells deeply within us, and his love becomes complete in us. It works, it runs its full course in and through us. Now, this is what I want to teach you by the help of the Holy Spirit this afternoon. Last week, Pastor Dewey was preaching about angels giving charge over us, and Mommy came up at the end and spoke from 1 John 5:18. It's one of the things that inspired this message. I have a lot of, you won't believe how many messages God gives me. I downloaded in this 2019, it's been different from all the other years. I have about 10 messages. I just downloaded, they're just being kept. I have to now find out when each one is applied. I was going to preach another message, but God said not today. Praise the Lord. I want to preach a message everybody will like. I'm not so sure. By the time I finish, you will know whether you like it or not. Now, 1 John 5:18. Mommy emphasized the scripture last Sunday. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. A better translation says, does not practice sin habitually. But he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and the wicked one toucheth him not. What does that mean? He keeps himself inside the love of God. That's hence this message. Let me say it this way. I paraphrase it, you know, over the years, God's given me this understanding, you know, how to break things down so that people can get it and, you know, it becomes practical, not legalistic. The more you walk in love, the less Satan can touch you. Should make walking in love a great motivation. The more you walk in love, the less he can penetrate your armor. See, Satan will attack. God has not promised you that he will not attack. The question is, will he penetrate? Can he hurt you? When he said the wicked one touches him, no, it doesn't mean he can't attack you. It just means that he can't hurt you. Didn't he attack Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Didn't he throw them in the fire? What was God doing? He touched them. They touched them. They carried them. They put them inside the fire. But the wicked one touched them not. God's protection was around them. So even though the enemy came in, the Spirit of God raised a standard against him, and their armor was not penetrated. Are you listening to me? Like I said some time ago when I was preaching, there was no collateral damage. The Lord Jesus himself, when he went to Nazareth, the Bible says he preached from Isaiah 61, prophetic message. He said, "This day is this scripture fulfilling your ears." Everybody got angry. He said, "Who's this crazy boy? He's not Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary, whose father and mother we know. The carpenter used to make table and chair for me." He's calling himself Messiah. The Bible says they were filled with madness. They grabbed him, so they touched him. And then they took him to the brow of the hill of the city. So all that time between the synagogue and the mountain where they were going to throw him down, they were still holding him. But when they now got to the place and they were going to push him down, he just walked through all of them. The wicked one toucheth him not. So shall it be with you. Amen. It's not as if you won't have challenges, but you will overcome them. Amen. And the way you make sure that your armor is intact is to walk in love. And God has made it, I'm going ahead again on myself, but this is so important, so simple. Anybody can do it. One of the scriptures, one of my favorite, there's some of my favorite scriptures in this context. The first one is that, he says, this word is not in heaven. That you have to go. It's not something that's so difficult. You have to go all the way to heaven to go and get it. It's not beyond the sea that you have to travel so far. He said, the word is nigh thee. It can be done. Turn to your neighbor and say, it can be done. It's in thy heart, it's in thy mouth, that thou mayest do it. Correct order. It's in thy mouth, then it is in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. There's a reason for that order. I'm going to come back to it in a minute. Are you listening to me? It's not hard. I remember when I first became a Christian, my first few years before I got to know the word of God myself, the way the Christianity was presented as if it was very difficult. Ah! To be a Christian? Hey! You can't laugh. Laugh, girl. Where souls are perishing. It was presented, and some of what they were saying was true. It's just that they were not rightly dividing the word. They didn't put it in its right place. Sure, there is a time in your Christianity where you're going to labor, there's a time in your Christianity where you're going to, crucify the flesh. All of that is there, but they didn't explain it properly, and so they made it so look so difficult, so legalistic that to live a holy life, it is real, it's very difficult. So it's only one or two of them and their own people that will go to heaven. The rest of you, that's not true. You know what the scripture says? It says his commandments are not grievous. He said so. So turn to your neighbor again and say, his commandments are not grievous. So you can do it. Then the Bible also says, Matthew 23, let every word be established. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Turn to your neighbor and say, his yoke is easy. His burden is light. Then tell him again, so you can do it. Of course you can do it. Anything that I tell you cannot do it is a lie. Now, the problem with us is a lack of knowledge. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. When we don't have knowledge, or incomplete knowledge causes the yoke to be heavy, the burden to be heavy, the yoke to be hard, It's not normally so. I thank God for all the things God taught me as a young Christian, the kind of teachers and fathers He brought me under. So I was able to really get, by the grace of God, the truth. So by His grace, it was not difficult for me. In my first year as a Christian, I wasn't even an old Christian. I was still a very young Christian. First six months, one year. I was already praying 1 hour in tongues every day. I was already doing 1 Corinthians chapter 13, 4 to 8 every day. Saying it, meditating it. And it governed my life. I didn't used to fight too. I never got into strife. I never quarreled with people, you know, or held grudges. Because I knew the importance of walking in love. So I would, you know, I would just say, okay, sorry, you know, I'll be the first to apologize. If I need to apologize, I'll go and apologize to people. You know, I'll avoid unnecessary argument and all of that. Even if I have this thing, I will end it with, okay, that's what you feel, that's what I feel. And, you know, we can disagree without being disagreeable. How did I learn those things? By putting these principles into operation. And I want to share them with you this afternoon. Why? Because of what Mommy shared with us. He that is born of God, he doesn't practice sin. Now, what does that mean practically? You know, everything about sin, we always think about, you know, adultery, fornication, drinking beer, smoking cigarettes, telling lies and all of that. It's very simple. Let's keep it simple. If you walk in love, you won't sin. So instead of trying to keep 1 million commandments, keep one. Just walk in love. Automatically, you keep all the others. So, he that is begotten of God sinneth not can be translated this way. He that is begotten of God walketh in love. And so, he keeps himself in love with God. And the wicked one doesn't touch him. Now, again, doesn't mean he can't be attacked. He will be attacked. But he will not be overcome. Hello, somebody. Now, let's look at this. And see how this is to operate. There's a second thing I've written here. Ah, yes, thank you, Jesus. Just before I leave here. You know, one of the other reasons for perfecting the love of God, apart from divine protection, which is critical and crucial, is the key to the glory of God. Before I go there, let's look at 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And I'm going to look at verses 17 and 18. 1 John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. But whoso, I didn't hear you, hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and what? Look at that word, shutteth up. His bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? Now, this scripture is extremely instructive. Watch this. The guy has compassion inside him. But he shut it. You see, all of us have the love of God inside us. By the Holy Spirit. The love of God is already there. But he used his will to lock it up. So it did not run its full course. It was in his spirit. And shut it up. So he had the bowels of compassion. He had it. So the love of God could not dwell, it could not live, it could not operate in him. It couldn't come out. It could not reach its full course. Next verse, verse 18. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but what? In deed and in truth. Until that love goes beyond talk and goes into action, where it blesses the people, it does not complete its full course. So love must start in the spirit, affect the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions, go into the body, circumstances, affect it, so that you now do what God would do. Then the love of God is complete. If it doesn't go through that, if it stops at the level of the spirit, even at the level of the mind, and it doesn't translate into the body and into the action, where you can be a blessing to the person, the love has not fulfilled its full course. Is it clear? Now, the second reason why we need to practice and ultimately perfect the love of God in our lives, this is what qualifies us for the glory of God. One of the most wonderful and thrilling scriptures in the Bible, in the New Testament, is this in Ephesians chapter 3. I'll just run through it very quickly. See, Paul had prayed a prayer for the Ephesians in chapter 1, that God give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so the eyes of their understanding be enlightened, that they will know the hope of your calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance, and the exceeding greatness of the resurrection power. Then he now comes in chapter 3 and prays another prayer for this same born again, and this is very important for us to understand, spirit-filled Christians. He said, I bow my knee unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he will strengthen you with might by his spirit in the inner man. That Christ, these people already had Jesus, may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. That you may know the love of Christ, which is greater than knowledge. Watch the next statement. That you might be filled. I didn't hear you, folks. All the fullness of God. So even those people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they were not filled with the fullness of God. So being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues is not the fullness of God. It's just the earnest. There is a place in God where we can be filled with all the fullness. We call it the Spirit without measure. It's the same thing Jesus had when he was here. That is the fullness of God that walks on water. It's the fullness of God that turns water to wine. It's the fullness of God that raises the dead after they've been dead for 4 days inside the grave. Ah, I'm going to see that. It's one of the things that I sometimes, you know, in my meditations and as I pray, I talk to God and I chuckle. You know, I just crack a joke with God. I say, God, I want to see the face of the skeptics and the agnostics. You know, right now, we're trying to have faith, we're debating. When those kind of miracles happen, all debate stops. He said, these men have done a notable miracle. Watch this. Adversary speaking. And we, the adversary, cannot deny it. The reason why they're arguing with us now is because we haven't done any notable miracles. Thank God for the miracles we're doing, and we give God the glory for them. But we must get this fullness of God. Like one prophecy said, you know, from 1679, he says, a settling of all controversies. And this is the second reason. First, we must have protection so we live long enough to be able to get this, you know, become really and rightly in love and then inherit this, all the fullness of God. Now, with that understanding and our background, what do we do? Now, put that illustration. There's an illustration I gave to Pastor Laulu last night to prepare. I will tell you when to move and when not to move. Praise the Lord. Is this thing working? Okay. I don't know. All right. Okay. You can see here it says perfecting the love of God. You know, letting the love of God. It's not showing properly. You need to see if you can expand it. And if you can't, it's okay. Don't worry. The first thing I want to show is this section here. I'm showing it this way so that you can have what the Bible calls complete knowledge. Complete doesn't mean you know everything. It just means you have complete understanding of all the principles in a particular area. Now, there are four things here. There's praying in the Spirit with tongues and groanings. That's on top. And you do it individually and you do it collectively, you know, daily or weekly, you know. Then there's the speaking of God's Word. Then there's the meditation of God's Word. And then there's the acting of God's Word. See those black arrows there? They indicate that the power from praying the Spirit is what makes the confession effective. It is the power of the confession that makes the meditation effective. It is the power of the meditation that makes the action effective. Now, that's what many Christians try and do.
they want to act on the love of God that's down here, and then they miss all these other ones on the top. No prayer in the spirit, no confession, no meditation, and what happens? They're acting in the flesh. And that is why love now becomes a very difficult thing for them to do. Forgiveness is very difficult. You know, walking in love is very difficult. They're trying to do the word of God, but they're not doing it by the Spirit. So it now becomes a thing of frustration. And then you now start, you hear them saying things like, "It's not possible, Joe. It's not possible. Ah, can you walk in love? It's not, I know the Bible says that, but Pastor. Have you heard that before? That means, you know, we're still living in this flesh. I know the Bible says that. But it's hard. It's difficult. Whereas the Bible says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But you see, when you don't have these other things in place, you will find these other ones very difficult. And so it's very important to have all these things in place. Now, give me the next slide. Right. Where are we? Okay. Just hold it there. Hold it. It's a little bit, you know, you're not getting the whole screen. I don't know what's happening. God will have mercy and help you up there. But let me just, you know, say what I want to say here. You need to pray in the spirit, you know, with tongues and groanings. There's corporate prayer. There's individual prayer. That's why Good Morning Jesus becomes very, very crucial daily. Then individually, maybe once in a week, how as often as you can pray, whatever little you can pray in the spirit. Because it is the power, the whole love of God is shed and brought in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Remember the definition of the love of God is using the wisdom from the Word of God, using the compassion from the fruit of the Spirit, and the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God will do in every circumstance situation. So therefore, you need praying in the Spirit. Keep this number two, just keep it here. You need praying in the Spirit. And that's why that corporate prayer that you do in the morning, it helps you tremendously. It amplifies whatever you pray individually because you're in a corporate group and gives you that power so that you can walk alone. The second thing here is the confession of God's Word. And this should be done once every 6 hours, you know, as led by the Spirit. Father, I confess. No, please, for God's sake. You see, I have the fruit of the Spirit. Right. You confess our sins to clean with the blood. In Jesus' name we have life. To enforce the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy. So I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering. See, the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth. You know, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and patience. To walk in love during the next 6 hours. Then pray everything in tongues. Just have about a minute. Anybody can do this. Even if you are born again yesterday and filled with the Holy Spirit, you can do this. Anybody can do it. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. Then the third thing here, is meditation. Whenever, let me tell you how this thing works. Whenever you're faced with a temptation, in your daily walk, maybe somebody offends you. Maybe a wrong thought comes to your mind. A wrong feeling comes to your body. It doesn't matter what it is. In your thinking, just say, "Lord, have mercy on me. Help me." The power that has been released from praying in tongues, the power that has been released from confession of the word, will now be given to you as you ask for mercy, to cling with the blood, gives you life, gives you power to be able to do the right thing. I've discovered that the reason why we do the wrong thing so many times is that we don't acknowledge the Lord. In that moment, the first thing is, "Lord, please have mercy on me, help me." You know, it's not that you even pray with your mouth. You know, it's in your heart. You said it with your mouth, you're now in your heart. And you will find and then take the action. You say it in your heart, then you take the action. You will find the mercy, the grace, the strength to do the right thing will be there. You act on the word and you will walk in love. As you practice this, you know what's going to happen? As you're practicing this, you have not perfected. Everyone say perfected. But you are perfecting. Everyone say perfecting. There's a big difference. The person who is perfecting is somebody who is practicing. The person who has perfected is somebody who practice with time makes perfect. Now, where God wants you to do is this. Start perfecting. Anybody who is perfecting will be protected. You know why? He's already a candidate for God's glory. God will do everything to look after him. You just make the decision and start perfecting. Start working on it. So when you know the thing of the Holy Spirit is that he will help you. After this, because the yoke is easy. The burden is light. You know, he'll just prompt you. Oh, you need to pray. You know, the other day, I don't remember where we were. My wife and I, we had to go somewhere. You know, and we were flying and on the plane and we're going, you know, different places. You know, I just remember. I need to pray. I just pray. A minute. You won't even know. If you're not close to me, you wouldn't know that I was praying. I'll pray. You know. And then the wisdom of what to say. The compassion. The thing to do. It will just come. It's the Holy Spirit that gives it. So God wants us to perfect this art. Okay. They got it better now. Pray in the Spirit with tongues and groanings. You do that daily or weekly. Daily when you do Good Morning Jesus collectively. Weekly once, find time during the week, you know, to pray in the Spirit as much as you can. Then confession of the word. Then meditation of the word. Then acting on the word. You can see that one is every 6 hours. Now, let's go back to fulfilling its course. Let's go back to the Apollo 11 illustration. When you pray, you release power. When you confess the word, you release power. It lasts for so long. That is why God said, in the morning, when you sit down, when you wake up, when you walk by the way, why is he telling you? He's telling you that you need to release the power of the Holy Spirit. You need to be releasing the consistent basis. Because, go back to the definition of love. What is love? It is discerning by the wisdom that comes from the word of God. It is feeling by the compassion that comes from the fruit of the Spirit. And then it is doing by the power. If that's the power of the Holy Spirit, if it goes down, you won't be able to. That is why he said, this word will not depart out of your mouth. He said, you will observe to do according to all that is written there. How? What is all? Is love. Is love. He said, all the commandment is comprehended in this one saying, that thou shalt love. Love. So he's made the thing simple for us. I'm going to close. Even a new Christian can do this. Now, let me give you one word here that will greatly strengthen and encourage you. Get back to the illustration. That was that first part. At least the part that you can put on the screen. But I'll say it anyway. You know, that's where collective prayer comes in. You know, even a young Christian, not somebody who's not even young, somebody who is an older Christian, a more mature Christian, but maybe you're in a time of weakness. How many people have been weak before? You know, how many people have had a day where you just haven't been able to pray properly in the morning? Has that happened to you before? Okay. Now, even then, because there are other people praying and you are connected, there is power that is still available to you. You can still walk in love. Now, of course, you won't make that a habit, praise the Lord. You know, and you will not abuse it. But the thing is, it's there. Even when you're not praying properly and all of that, the one that everybody can do, and this is going to be another message I'm going to preach some other time, not now. You know, I'll call it the conditions for the rapture. How many people want to know? Coming attractions, don't miss it. A tiny of a rapture. And I tell you something, the communion for the rapture is not stay rapturable. Have you heard that before? You know, Christian, stay rapturable. It's not like that. It's not like that at all. They are conditions. They are conditions. You know, I don't want to get into all of that. You know, but the important thing is this. God has made it so simple that the Christian that was born yesterday can do it. Otherwise, it would be unfair. It would be unjust. If I have to be perfect before God can protect me, who will be protected? You have to think these things through. You have to understand God's character. If I have to be perfect for God to protect me, who will be protected? No. All he just needs is to be perfecting. Anybody can speak. Anybody can think. And anybody can act. So even if he can't pray much in tongues and groanings, maybe he's a young Christian, he doesn't know how to groan properly and all of that, God will take the power of those that he's connected with that are groaning. He will divert it to him so he can walk in love. Then as he walks in love, he's going to get stronger. And he's going to get stronger. And he's going to get stronger. Then he'll start praying. This system is beautiful. Only God could have designed it. He's made it possible for everybody. Everybody can speak God's word. Everybody can think God's word. And everybody can practice, do God's word. Whenever you are faced with anything, just ask God for mercy. Say, God, help me. I've learned that thing now. You know, the Bible is true. It's not just a book that was written by David and some other. It's a spiritual fact. You know what David said? And one of the things that helped him, and it was when he didn't do it that he got into trouble. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. Who did the setting? David. It wasn't God who did it all. He said, I have set the Lord always before me. He is at my right hand. That thing has helped me in my Christian life. I always remember, he's right there. So when I'm faced with temptation or I'm faced with a weakness, even when I can't pray or I don't even... How many people have got to a place where you don't feel like praying? All the sinners are going to hell. Praise the Lord. Have you been there before? Amen. You don't feel like praying. Amen. I've learned and I'm still learning. Even when I feel like that happens to me. I mean, it doesn't happen anymore these days because by the grace of God, I've grown and I've developed. But I that's why I can be touched with the feeling of infirmities of others. Because I know where I came through over the years. And sometimes I still have some of those things, you know, that come against me. I've learned now. I just ask, please help me. Kule. It's not in heaven that you go and bring it. It's not beyond the sea. He said, it is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. Lord, Holy Spirit, help me. Lord, have mercy on me. Help me. And you will find he will help you. He will show you, he will give you the wisdom. He will bring light. Quickly go there. You know, quickly run to that place. Quickly, don't do this. And you quickly do it. And then you say, God, your mercy. Then you begin to appreciate him more. You begin to acknowledge him more. You begin to walk more with him. God wants us to start practicing perfecting the love of God. Perfecting the love of God. You won't be perfect overnight. Don't worry about that. You don't worry about being perfect. You just worry about perfecting. Did you hear me? What did I say? If you start perfecting, ultimately you will become perfect. That's what the Bible means. That's why I went through understanding that it means running its full course. Let it move from your spirit to your soul. That's what happens when you pray in tongues and confession. Let it go from the soul into the body, into the circumstances. That's what you do when you meditate and you act upon the word of God. And it will be running its full course as the law of God being perfected inside you. You know, you will get God's protection. You become God's special project. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself what? On behalf of them whose heart is what? Upright. Honest. God, you know, help me. So I get up every morning. The first thing I want to do, you know, put on the armor of God. As for love, joy, peace, help me. So as I pray, in every circumstance situation today, and then you just keep practicing it. When you slip up, and you will slip up because of the sin nature in the soul and the body, it doesn't matter. Just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Help me. Quickly, get up. Says a just man falls seven times and he was. You will perfect the love of God. In this end time, God will protect you. 1,000 will fall at your right hand. 10,000 at your left. But it will what? Only with your eyes. You see the reward of the wicked. The arrow that flies by the day. The pestilence at noonday. It won't come near you. Once you've made the love of God, you know, your goal in life, and you practice it every day in this way, by the Spirit, like I've said. So people have tried to do this thing by the flesh. It doesn't work. That's why all those things have their places. Praying the Spirit has its place. Confession of the Word has its place. Meditation of the Word has its place. Acting on the Word has its place. As you practice all of that, you will find that God's love will start becoming perfect in you. You will have patience you didn't know you had. Hello, somebody. Long suffering. You go to a place, they talk, you know, all kinds of things they shouldn't say to you. Maybe talk to you rudely and ask you, "Oh, guys, sit down. Wait. Guys, not around." If you wonder, "Ah, can they talk to me like this?" Then there'll just be gentleness in your heart. You know, instead of getting angry, saying, "Oh, could we use that time to pray?" Hello, somebody. You know, that thing helps you. The thing that would have gotten if it was before, you would give it back to them. Don't give them a piece of your mind. We don't need it. We want a piece of the renewed mind. You just find you're gentler than you used to be. You're kinder than you used to be. You're more patient than you used to be. It's supernatural. I got to close with this. What is love? It's fruit. It's fruit. Now, what's the difference between a gift and a fruit? You can put a gift on, like a Christmas tree, and you can take the gift off. Ask Samson. See, all that power Samson had was a gift. So the day he misbehaved, he says, and the Spirit of God, he knew not, because it was taken from him. But fruit is not like that. Fruit is grown from inside. You plant the seed of God's word, then every day you water it. Every day you water it, then it grows. Like what mommy was reading for Sister Joko this morning. It shall be like a tree that is planted. His fruit will not wither. Because the fruit, you find, I'm growing fruit. So if somebody comes to your tree and plucks one fruit off, the fruit of long suffering, and eats it, another one will come out. Because it's fruit, you see. It has become what I am. God have mercy on us. God, I will say, God is love. I will say it again. Say it again. There's a revelation I want you to get. Say it again. When cats give birth, what do they give birth to? Thank you. When mosquito gives birth, what does it give birth to? When dogs give birth, what do they give birth to? When love gives birth, what does it give birth to? They didn't get it. When love gives birth, what does it give birth to? That's what you really are. Now let it come out and run its full course. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. That's what you really are. That's why if you're doing anything that is not like love, you're acting contrary to what you are. And that's why you feel very uncomfortable. That's who you really are. That's who we are. We're children of love. God does not have love. God is love. So whenever you do what God is doing, you're doing love. It is not love that defines God. It is God that defines love. And we are love. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Talk to God. I don't know if I've helped you, but man, if you grab this message, there's nowhere you won't get to. Because love never fails. And because you're walking in love, you will never fail. Turn to your neighbor and say, you will never fail. Because you are love. And love never fails. Oh! Love divine. Great Him.
Joy of heaven
to earth come down. Fix in us
thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful
mercy.
See mercy. Man, this guy got it. Just thou art
all
pure, unbounded love thou art.
Visit us with
thy salvation. Enter every strength. Let's take that first verse again. Love divine.
Love divine.
Love divine. Joy of heaven to earth come down, fixing us.
Fixing us thy humble dwelling.
All thy faithful.
All thy faithful.
Mercy is great. Jesus. Glory to God. Keep this on the screen. I want to show you something here. This was written by John Wesley 300 years ago in the 1700s, about 300 400 years. Look at what he put there. It's by the Holy Spirit. Same thing I'm teaching. I'm not teaching anything different from what they taught. John Wesley taught about second sanctification, complete sanctification, perfection, and all of that. Look at what he said. He said, pray and praise thee without ceasing. Glory, how? In thy perfect love. You see the link between prayer and perfecting love. You cannot perfect the love of God without prayer. And that's what I've just taught you. By the grace and the mercy of God. And that's why it's praying without ceasing. I pray 1 hour in the morning, good morning Jesus, the personal individual prayer in the spirit once in a week, you know, I do that. Then during the day, I'm praying once every 6 hours with my mouth. Then in between the 6 hours, I'm praying with my thoughts. I'm praying without ceasing. I'm doing concentrated prayer in the spirit. I'm doing confession at regular intervals during the day, when I sit down, when I get up, when I lie down, when I, you know, that's with my mouth. Then with my thoughts in between, I'm praying all the time. So it doesn't matter what is coming against me. I'm in constant communion with God. I'm in constant communion with God. My first port of call with my thoughts is God. And how do you get it? It's practice. It's practice. After a while, in all thy ways, acknowledge. And he will do what? Direct your path. Pray and praise thee. God gave this man revelation. He didn't put 1 John there. He didn't put, but it's the same thing. It's exactly what I've taught. Pray and pray thee without ceasing. Then what? Glory in thy perfect love. In other words, the way to perfect the love of God is to pray without ceasing. You cannot, I've said it at the beginning, I'm going to keep saying it. You cannot walk in love without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. It's not human love. You cannot walk in love without the Word of God, without the fruit of the Spirit, without the power of the Spirit. Can be done. And that fruit has to be grown. You put it inside your heart, then you water it. Life scriptures. You water, you pray in tongues. That's how it grows. And that's how it develops. Those of you who are lacking in one area or the other, and all of us do, maybe you're very rough with people. Maybe you're unkind in your words, in your attitudes. Grow and grow this thing. And then come and see me in 1 month. You will not be the same person. Now, let's do the last verse. Finish now thy new creation.
Finish now thy new creation.
Pure and spotless.
Pure and spotless.
Let us be. Let us see. Glory to God. Manifestation. Hallelujah.
Perfectly.
God.
From glory,
hallelujah,
into glory, till in purpose we take our place, till we cross the cross before thee, lost in wonder, love and
one grace. More time, finish now. What a word! Pure and spotless.
Pure and spotless. Let us be.
Castle ben gradafene.
Let us see.
Hallelujah!
Grace
perfectly restored. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Change. Glory to God.
Glory into
hallelujah
glory. In purpose we take our place till we cross the cross before thee lost in wonder love and
till we cast. Go to that place where it says, finish now thy new creation. Yeah, hold it there. John Wesley, 300, 400 years ago. 300, 400 years ago. He recognized that, yes, we're born again, we're a new creation, but we're not finished yet. We're not finished yet. You see, the world, you know, I was reading an article yesterday, people were criticizing Christians, you know, unbelievers, you know. In fact, one person, I think he's a Christian, you know, but he was disappointed with some Christians saying they're doing this and they're doing that and they're supporting Donald Trump and they're doing this and they're doing that and all of that. As I read, I said, see, the problem is they are seeing an unfinished creation. And when you see something that is not finished, it's not going to look as fine as the finished one. I said, it's not their fault. How many people have seen a house in building construction when they haven't finished it? Most of the things are there, the pillars are there, the foundation has been done, you know, all the doors and all of that, but everything has not been put in place. They haven't cleaned the place, they haven't swept it out and all that. You won't want to live there. It looks, thank you, darling, totally undesirable. But if you have an eye to see, you will see that all it needs is a little bit of cleaning up. And just put a few windows and a door here and a, you know, because the basics are there. The pillars are there. The foundation. Most Christians are like that. The pillars are there, the foundation, but we need to clean you up. So when the world sees us, they won't say, what kind of God are they serving? Pure and spotless, let us be. Let us see. John Wesley emphasized the word see, manifestation. He had it. He knew he had it. He knew he was a new creation. He said, let us see thy great, and it's a great salvation. Go and read the book of Hebrews. Ah! He said, how shall we escape if we neglect so great? You say, because we, most of the church we've seen in the last 2,000 years has been incomplete. So in our mind, it doesn't look great. Is it not that brother? Is it not that sister? There's nothing great about them, Joe. But the greatness will come out. And the world, not just us, the world will look in wonder and in praise. They will give glory to God. And they'll say, ha! The Bible says in Psalm 45, Isaiah 45, one of my says, it says, men of stature. He says, they will come unto thee and they will fall before thee. And you know what they will say? Surely. It's not you who is saying it all. It's not Christians who are saying it. This is the world. The unbeliever who is not yet born again. He says, surely God is in thee when they see a finished new creation. Put your hand on your chest. Let's talk to God. How many people want to be finished? All going around this incomplete building. Want to finish this work. So our people will see the real thing. Then all the blasphemy and all the silly things they say, everybody will shut up. It says, the Lord is risen in his holy temple. Let all the earth be. But he can't rise if the temple is not finished. Raise that hand. Thank you, Jesus. Say, Father, we confess our sins, so we cling with the blood of Jesus from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, revealing to me afresh that it is your will for your love to be perfected in me, to run its full course from my spirit into my soul, into my body, into my actions, into my deeds, into my circumstances. So that when men look at me, they will see your love in me. Oh God, have mercy on me. Help me. Help me. Help me to use your blood, your word, the power of your Holy Spirit to perfect the love of God inside my life. Father, I thank you for mercy and grace that has assured me that the yoke is easy, that the burden is light, that this commandment to perfect your love is not grievous. Father, I receive fresh mercy. I see fresh grace to do this commandment and to perfect it, to start perfecting it in my life and ultimately perfect it. So I will enjoy your full protection. The wicked one will not be able to touch me. And ultimately, I will be filled with all the fullness of God in Jesus' name. Let's pray in the Spirit. Nika tolobashala. La prikito frenesk. Lobradesko fridiosh. Mesto frenengala. Lombridika tushko fridesk. Lobradala. Mercy, Lord. Shalakiko globotolomato fridesh. Tolomatolomaga glomatolomato fresh. Tolamato glomatolomato frido frishingara. Dofrines. No fridis. Langaras. Tufrines. Lombridilis. Jiki tufrines. Lombradala solo fredel non chofrines. Lombre de gramatolomatu frinesk. Tolomatu frines. No fridesk. In Jesus' name.
There's a song that is going on in my heart. And when you look at me, it's your righteousness you see. Just keep it because I don't want to lose the song. You know something, if you've been in this church for a few years, that is about 5 years ago. Remember, just came back to me when this whole place was totally down, and it was all in rubbles, and we were trying to rebuild. It did not look attractive at all. In fact, sometimes I'll be coming to church and I say, are you mad? I'll be talking to myself, because say the devil will tell me, you put your husband in trouble. How can you say that in one short time like this, you can fix a thing like this? Who has done this? Yeah, where is the money? And you know, I never discussed this with him, but instantly that picture just came back to me. But you know what kept me going? I kept seeing the finished product. I just kept seeing that finished product. I just kept seeing that finished product. I kept seeing. And you see, that is what I used to reply the devil. Tell the devil I'm a project in transition. A project in transition. And know the finished work. Because his thoughts towards me are always thoughts of good and not of evil, to bring me to a glorious finished end. Even though people couldn't see all I was seeing, but by faith I received it in a figure. That was what Abraham saw. So he could offer Isaac. And he said, Daddy, where is the sacrifice? So God will provide for himself a sacrifice. And you know, that's when I will come here after we have done one. I say, please, Fasad. And people are like, Mommy, are you okay at all? We struggled to finish this. So you are talking about Fasad. But you know, because I saw a picture. And truly, remove the Fasad, can the house be complete? Could not have been complete. That's how God sees us. He sees.
And the Fasad is the glory.
Hallelujah.
Your Fasad is the glory.
Glory to God. I remember standing here and I saw eyes looking at me and wondering how we didn't even have the money for the facade. We were asking if brethren could join faith with us, but I saw something. Now let's strip that facade off this house. It's not the same thing. So when the glory is on us, all eyes shall see it together. That is, remember that, because it was a battle that I had to fight in my mind. And I could not even afford to let it know what was going on in my mind. Because it was a struggle. And you know, because if I was there weak, it would affect him. So I kept pushing. And thank God, you believe this. You believed even though you didn't see. And the Lord revealed the glory. And it was made manifest. Hallelujah. So when you look at me,
Lord, make me pure in heart.
Lord, make me pure in heart.
Hallelujah.
Make my heart faithful and true.
Ha ha ha.
so wet.
When you look at me, it's your righteousness you see. Lord, make me pure in heart.
Two more times. Lord, make me pure in heart. Yes, sir.
Your righteousness you see. Lord, make me pure in heart.
One more time. Lord, make me pure in heart. Glory to God.
Lord, make me pure in heart.
Make me pure in heart. Brethren, as children of God, that's what revelation is. Seeing the finished product. Seeing where God is taking us. Then you're able to endure the journey. The inconveniences, the difficulties you meet along the way become insignificant. The sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. Keep that in your mind. Keep it. Whenever you're tempted, just remember there's something that is ahead of us. And the world is going to see it. You are going to see it. It's going to be wonderful. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up the light of His countenance upon you. The Lord God gives you peace. God makes you head and not tail. Above only and not beneath. Everything you set your hand to is successful. You are at least 10 times better than your peers. You possess the gate of your enemies, even the gate of death. So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. May long life of God satisfy you and show you His salvation, even the perfection of the fullness of Christ. So Lord, impart on you the anointing of Enoch, of Abraham, of Joseph, of Moses, of Joshua, of Ruth, of David, of Elisha, of Daniel, of Esther, of Paul, and of John, in Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. Turn and say, you are perfecting the love of God in your life. God bless you. Have a great week.